Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your wonderful word. Lord, fill us anew with your word this morning that we might go forth eager to serve you from what we hear. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Please stand in honor of God's word. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is a scene that sounds like it comes from a movie. There are three significant individuals in this scene, Jesus, of course, being the most significant. There is Simon the Pharisee, and then there is the woman who we do not know by name, but she's referred to as a sinful woman. It takes place in the courtyard of the house of Simon the Pharisee. The houses of well-to-do folks were built around an open courtyard. And in the courtyard, there could be a fountain or a garden. And in the warmer weather, it was a gathering place to share meals. And when a rabbi was at a meal, all kinds of people perhaps would come. They were actually free to do so, and perhaps they wanted to hear a bit of wisdom that the rabbi might have to offer. And so that explains this woman and how she gets to this party, because she certainly was not invited. Well, the custom was that when a guest entered the house, three things were done. First of all, the host placed his hand on the guest's shoulder and gave him the kiss of peace. It was a mark of respect, and most definitely it happened when a rabbi appeared. Secondly, cool water was poured over the dusty feet of visitors. So we can only imagine what the feet were like back in those days. You know, they were walking through lots of dust and sand, and they would have just a sole, a leather sole with straps to hold that sole under their foot. Their foot was not totally covered, so you can imagine how dusty and dirty their feet would be. And so they were given water to that was poured over their feet, not only to clean their feet, but also to probably provide some comfort from the heat. And then, thirdly, a pinch of sweet-smelling incense was burned, or a drop of attar of roses was put on the head of the guest. When they dined, they did not sit at a table like you and I would sit down at a dinner table, but rather they reclined, rather different. They had lower tables, and they would recline on their left arm, and their feet would be out there. So they weren't directly under, like under a chair. They were lying, and their feet were extended. Their body was completely extended. And so this is how that woman would have been near Jesus' feet. You know, she's not sitting under a table, but she's out around the perimeter of this courtyard, and so she sees his feet. Now, we're not quite sure why Simon invited Jesus into his house for dinner. But it's obviously not that he had a whole lot of respect for Jesus, and it's obviously not like he was his best friend. Because as the scene develops, we can see that that's pretty much the case. He just wasn't real friendly with Jesus. Maybe he saw him as kind of a person who has a great following, and so he wants to bring him into his house for that reason. We're not sure. But in any case, he invites him in. The woman most likely is a prostitute. She must have heard about Jesus to appear at this meal. And around her neck, like all Jewish women wore, they had this little vial of concentrated perfume, a little alabaster, a little jar that was carried around their neck. For a Jewish woman to appear with her hair unbound was an act of immodesty. Once a woman was married, her hair remained bound up, and it was never let down like this woman leaves her hair down. So here's the scene. One could imagine that the folks are gathered around this table. They're enjoying their dinner, maybe some conversation, and then there's this interruption in the meal. The woman sees Jesus. She is so overwhelmed by his presence and her sin that she begins to weep and weep and weep. She's kneeling at his feet, and the tears are falling from her tear ducts down onto the feet of Jesus. So many tears are falling from her eyes onto the feet of Jesus. And what's she to do? She has no towel with her, so she does what would have been the most unlikely thing, to unbind her hair, and she begins to wipe and dry his feet with her hair. She reaches over then and begins to wipe these tears on the feet of the Savior. And not only does she wipe the tears, she begins to kiss his feet. I don't know about you, but most of us don't want to kiss people's feet, especially if they were out in that long, dirty, old, dusty road. The last thing you'd probably want to do is kiss feet. But she does. Her tears are the wet, the moisture, and she uses her hair to dry. And then she proceeds to kiss Jesus' feet over and over and over again. And then comes the anointing. She anoints his feet with this precious perfume. She probably was known for perfume from her customers. And so this perfume begins to permeate the room. And then there's someone, Simon the Pharisee, grumbling under his breath. I mean, imagine this scene. Imagine this love that this woman is pouring out to Jesus. Her heart is so transparent. She's like in her own world. She doesn't care that her hair is let down and it's the most immodest thing that she could do. She doesn't care what anybody's thinking. All she's focused on is Jesus and the great love that he has for her. And there's Simon. You could just see him. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is touching him, that she's a sinner. And he's mumbling this under his breath, and I love it because Jesus knows what we mumble under our breath. Jesus knew exactly what Simon was saying. And he uses a little parable to teach Simon a great lesson. He tells him about a creditor and the two people that owe money. One owes an exorbitant amount of money, and one owes just a very tiny amount of money. And the creditor forgives both of them their debts. And Jesus asks the question, who will love the creditor more? Simon, of course, says the one who has forgiven the largest debt, who has been forgiven the largest debt. And Jesus takes his answer and he catapults that right into the situation at hand. He tells Simon how he failed to do the acts of common courtesy when a guest entered into his home. There was no kiss. There was no cleansing with the water of his feet, and there certainly was no anointing. But the sinful woman does it all. And she not only does it all, she does it to excess. Max Lucado writes, what one treasure does she cherish that Simon doesn't? Simple, God's love. We don't know when she received it. We aren't told how she heard about it. Did she overhear Jesus' words, your father is merciful? Was she nearby when Jesus had compassion on the widow of Nain? Did someone tell her how Jesus touched lepers and turned tax collectors into disciples? We don't know. But we know this. She came thirsty. Thirsty from guilt. Thirsty from regret. Thirsty from countless nights of making love and finding none. She came thirsty. And when Jesus hands her the goblet of grace, she drinks. She doesn't just take a taste or a nip. She doesn't dip her finger and lick it. But she takes that cup and she lifts the liquid to her lips and drinks and gulps. And the swallowing is like the parched pilgrim that she is. She drinks until the mercy flows down her chin and onto her neck and onto her chest. She drinks until every inch of her soul is moist and soft. She comes thirsty and she drinks. She drinks deeply. Simon, on the other hand, doesn't even know he is thirsty. People like Simon don't need grace. They analyze it. They don't request mercy. They debate and prorate it. It wasn't that Simon couldn't be forgiven. He just never asked to be. So while she drinks up, he puffs up. While she has ample love to give, he has no love to offer. And so Jesus tells him, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, Scripture tells us we love because he first loved us. And this woman knew that Jesus not only loved her, but forgave her all of her sins. And because of that great gift of love and forgiveness, her life overflowed with love. As she just poured her love upon the Savior Jesus, the one whom the oil of gladness rested, Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness rested upon him, is now anointed by this sinful woman. She shows the great love she has for him. And in return, he gives her the oil of gladness. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you cried from the realization that Jesus loves you so much and has forgiven every one of your sins? Does it mean that much to you that you would weep, that you would be so filled, overfilled with gratitude, that it would cause you to weep? That he's forgiven everything you've ever said or done. And he's forgiven the things we say and do now. And he will forgive us in the future. Because what he did on that cross at Calvary, it wasn't just for the past, it's for the present. And it's for the future as well. The greatest act of love that God gave to us was that his son died on that cross. You love him so much that it would bring you to tears. Or have you just heard the story over and over again and you've almost become hardened? Just stop and think what Jesus has done for you. How much he loves you. How much he forgives you. It would make you cry if you saw him face to face, as this woman sees him. And when she sees him, she's just broken apart out of gratitude and love. Is your devotion to the Lord a reflection of that great love? Not long before she died in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor in television, Margarita Lasky, one of our best-known secular humanists and novelists, said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." You and I are so blessed because we have a Savior that has forgiven us. He's forgiven us, granted us this wonderful gift of love. I'm just going to ask that we take a moment of silence. And in our hearts, just thank the Lord. Thank him. He's forgiven you and he loves you. You and me so much that maybe it might bring you to tears. Let us pray. We thank you, sweet Jesus. You love us so much. And you've forgiven us for all things. Place your anointing oil of gladness upon us. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. And may each day that we live, Lord, be filled to overflowing with your love. And Lord, may it bring a tear to our eyes now and then. A tear of gratitude. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.